A man who came within minutes of execution last year has now had his death sentence lifted, and an airline sued for a death caused by exposure to secondhand smoke has to pay up. That's two of several Supreme Court rulings handed down today. Other decisions make it harder to sue the government for privacy violations and define who can sue for age discrimination. If you have questions about any of today's rulings, give us a call. 1-800-989-8255. That's 1-800-989-TALK. Or you can send us email, TOTN@NPR.org. Stephen Henderson covers the Supreme Court for the Knight Ridder newspapers, and he's with us now by phone from his office here in Washington. Thanks for being with us.
Sure.
Tell us about the age discrimination first.
The age discrimination case is a case, a dispute between General Dynamics, which is a defense contractor, and a group of employees who were between ages 40 and 50 when the company signed a collective bargaining agreement that excluded them from an insurance benefit that they were going to grant to retired workers. They said, we'll grant this to everybody upon retirement who's 50 and over at this point. And under federal law, they sued, saying that was age discrimination, that because the federal law protects people 40 and over, that you couldn't differentiate between older workers and younger workers in any case. The court said, actually, distinction is not always discrimination, and that the law was written to protect older workers from discrimination and doesn't prohibit benefits that go to them and not younger workers.
Was this a closely divided decision?
This was 6-3, so it wasn't terribly close, and it's a very strong opinion that lays bare the idea that reverse discrimination, at least as far as age is concerned, doesn't rise to the same level as discrimination does.
Now, this has been a closely watched case. What are the implications likely to be?
Well, the implications are huge for this case. There are some 70 million workers in America who are age 40 and over, employers for the last 30 years or so have been developing programs and benefits that are designed for older workers. I mean, if you think of any place that has a pension plan, or any place that enhancements that come along sometimes with layoffs. We're going to lay off a lot of workers, but if you are 50 or over, you're going to qualify for more of a
early retirement benefits.
These are very widespread policies, and so if the court had said this was not legal, you would have had an incredible scramble by most corporations and most major corporations to have to rewrite their policies. Mm-hmm. So it's a very important decision.
Also a case involving a man on death row in Texas who very nearly found himself being executed by the state. Tell us about that one.
That's right. This man was literally on his way to the death chamber, had eaten his last meal and everything, when the court intervened and said that it wanted to review whether prosecutors had conducted themselves illegally by not sharing information that they had about some of their witnesses at his trial.
This is a so-called exculpatory evidence, which they're supposed to provide.
That's right. And not only that they're supposed to provide, but that they had even said they would provide to the defense, then did not, and then denied it on appeal. This is a very unusual case, and it's a very glaring case from Texas, which is a very active death penalty state. And the justices are stepping in here and saying, look, you've got to review this stuff. You can't just dismiss it as unimportant.
What was it? Did the court, they lifted the death sentence, but did they vacate the conviction?
No. In fact, this was not at all about the conviction. This is about the death sentence, and so he will go back to court and have new hearings about whether he should face the death sentence.
We're speaking about Supreme Court decisions handed down today with Stephen Henderson, the Supreme Court reporter for Knight Ridder Newspapers. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. So in lifting, you know, asking for a rehearing on the death penalty in this case, not on guilt or innocence, but on the death penalty, what's the message for prosecutors in terms of this exculpatory evidence?
Well, certainly it's saying to prosecutors, you know, you've got to cooperate with defense attorneys in these cases. These are very important cases. Somebody's life is at stake. You can't hide evidence that you have. This is also the second time in a year that the justices have sent this kind of message to the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals, which sits in New Orleans and covers Texas. They seem to be saying to the Fifth Circuit to some extent that they are not giving enough deference to mistakes in criminal procedure that are made in capital cases. Last year, they chided them for dismissing a case in which a defendant claimed that prosecutors had eliminated all the blacks from his jury illegally. The Fifth Circuit said, "Well, maybe they did, maybe they didn't, but we're not even gonna grant an appeal on that basis." The justices seem to be saying, "This is very serious. These are very serious issues. You are trying to take somebody's life. You have to consider these things a little more carefully."
There was also a ruling today that a law enforcement officer who prepares and then executes an invalid search warrant can be sued and held liable for damages.
That's right.
How did this come up to the Supreme Court?
This was a case of a law enforcement officer who, quite by accident, left the particular items that they were searching for off of the search warrant when he came to search a home that was suspected of harboring lots of illegal weapons. All of the backing documents had everything right, but the warrant itself was wrong. And here, the court just very plainly said, you know, the Fourth Amendment is very explicit about the prohibition against general warrants, which would permit police to you know, look for anything and you know, rummage through people's houses. You know, this is a case that would seem to leave law enforcement officials sort of vulnerable. Although I think its implications are somewhat less broad, because you know, police are generally very careful when they're filling out warrants, and this is something that doesn't happen very often. But it is saying to them in this case, make sure you know you cross your T's and dot your I's, otherwise you could be liable.
Mm-hmm. A couple of other decisions we wanted to get through quickly. An airline can be held liable, the court ruled today, for the death of a passenger caused by exposure to secondhand smoke. The airline in question, Olympic Airways, which argued that they were protected under the terms of the Warsaw Convention.
Right.
Yeah, what was that about?
This was a couple who were flying and had requested a non-smoking seat and were sat very close to the smoking section, and the one of them suffered an asthma attack and died as a result. The Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals said that fits the definition of accident, basically because you know this guy did not cause his own mm-hmm. his own death. The airlines actions did, and there is, you know, under Article 17 of the Warsaw Convention, that fits the definition of accident, and that holds the airline liable. It's a pretty straightforward reading of the law.
And we're running out of time, so I'll just have to summarize the other case. A coal miner's Social Security number was used as an identification number, and it was published in the newspaper. He wanted to sue for $1,000 for the embarrassment and humiliation of having his privacy invaded. The Supreme Court said he couldn't.
Right. They said there was no actual harm done, that he couldn't show that something bad had really happened to him as a result of that publication, so that even though it was wrong, you know, he's not entitled to sue for damages. The government did say, you know, the court did say, yeah, you don't do it again. But you know, in terms of punishing by you know, damages, there was no standing for that.
Stephen Henderson, thanks very much.
Absolutely.
Stephen Henderson covers the Supreme Court for Knight Ridder Newspapers. He was with us by phone from his office here in Washington. I'm also in Washington. I'm Neil Conan, NPR News.